Okay, it's Friday night, and I just went ahead and stopped that song because I think that was the extended version of that. It looked like you had another 4 or 5 more minutes to go, so I just went ahead and did it like that. So if everybody here tonight and you can hear me, let me have an amen so I know that we are alive in the internet world. And all right, so y'all good to go. So I just wanted to thank y'all before I get started into the sermon. We was talking a little bit earlier, and I know maybe a few of y'all ears were probably ringing, but it was a good talk. It was not a bad talk, but I was telling Brother Toby, you know, he's to let y'all in on a little story that he's getting baptized. I think he told me tomorrow because he knows here today, but he's getting baptized tomorrow. So let's give him a congratulations. I'm very proud of him because, again, when he first showed up in his chat room, he was basically in a mess. He had a lot going on in his life. You know, people rejected him, didn't want to have nothing to talk with him or whatever. And I kind of knew where he was coming from because, you know, I was there one time in my life, messed up on all sorts of things and drugs and you name it. My life was in a shambles, but, you know, God turned that around, but it took some devoted Christians to start talking to him and treat me like a friend. And now look at it many years later, you know, I get the good news that, you know, he's really giving his life to the Lord. Now he's getting baptized and he's trying to witness to his family. So, you know, folks, if you ever think about you never plant seeds or you're never doing nothing right, it seems like, you know, what's the use? Sit back and think about this story. You know, I know it's going to be a little bit longer into this message, but think about this story. You know, if you ever look at a clear lake and you take a little pebble and you throw it out there in the middle of that lake, what happens? You see the ripples. See, that's what you and I do. When we sow in the seed, we may not see the end results of it right away. We may not ever see it, but there are results. Sometimes people's lives do change. And I was reading, you know, this morning the word about the parable about us being faithful in those small things, that he's going to grant us bigger things. So y'all remain faithful for doing whatever you can do, because you may think what I do is insignificant. It does not matter. Makes no difference. Who am I? I'm not like so-and-so. No, you're not like so-and-so. But you're very special in God's eyes, and I want y'all to know that. So never give up. Never be afraid. Never worry about, am I going to amount to something? Just keep doing what you do best. Amen? And I'm glad that my brother's getting baptized because, again, it shows that he is living the Christian life. It shows that he is surrendering himself to God. And again, as I said earlier, we're not perfect. We all make mistakes. We boo-boo. And if anybody here says we don't sin, then according to God's words, you're a liar. We all sin. And I just wish, you know, like me and my wife was talking the other day, I just wish people would start being real, would start acting real in church, and quit acting like they're some sort of super Christian, or quit acting like they're some stuck-up little person or whatever, or quit acting like, well, you know, you're not good enough for me to be in my little group. I want nothing to do with you. You know, shame on them. I wish we'd just all start loving each other for what we are, support each other, forgive each other, and love each other. And I think things would be much better if we started acting more like Jesus instead of less of ourselves. But yet many claim to act like Jesus, but it's still acting like self. And that's sickening, and that is a shame to me when I see that, and I see this especially in churches. Folks got a lot of growing up they still need to do. Amen. So I'm glad that you're here tonight, and as I was telling them, you know, I'm glad that y'all four are still coming to this every Friday night. So at least it gives me hope. It gives me something to look forward to, and it helps me prepare sermons even though I'm not pastoring a church. And you know, someone told me, well, I'm too cruel, or I'm too hard, or I'm too brutal, and that's why God is never going to give you a church. Well, that kind of stung. But you know what? I would have never said that to a person. I said, brother, God is still going to use you. That's how I always said it. God still loves you, and God will use you in all your imperfections, one way or the other. Amen? And he's doing the same for y'all. So this is what the message is really going to boil about tonight. And, you know, I had so much, I want to say, yeah, it was fun, you know, putting together the Armor of God, you know, series. You know, I really enjoyed it. I really, you know, I was glad at taking some time to research, you know, and dig deeper into much of the history of what the Armor of God really was all about. And at the token, after when I finished it last week, I was thinking, man, you know, okay, now I got to, what am I going to come up with? I mean, like, I didn't have a clue which direction I was going. I really didn't. You know, I'm like, all right. But I started thinking about, you know, church and Christians. You know, and I've been reflecting on my experiences and watching them from each church that I've been in as a member, as a teacher, and as a preacher. And I'm sure that maybe you can relate to some of this tonight, too. You know, I've been watching them, and, you know, and plus, you know, I've been humbled. You know, I've been through some experiences, and some I was not doing right, but I learned the lessons the hard way through life, and I learned how to humble myself more. But now I'm starting to understand, you know what, we need to start acting more like Jesus and have more compassion and be more forgiving and more loving instead of critical about someone's faults or critical about someone saying something in church that offends them or hurts them or causes them grief or whatever. They need to grow up and be more like Jesus. They need to grow up and have maturity. You know, like my wife says, what's wrong with these people? Shouldn't we start really loving each other and forgiving each other, no matter, even if I caused you offense or said something, you know, in a teaching lesson or a preaching lesson that caused you offense, but you get all mad and you get all bent out of shape? Shouldn't you just forgive us and move on? But many don't. And that's what got me to thinking about this message tonight. So let me ask you a question. Pay close attention to this now. If we had live feed, I could be looking at you and engaging your faces. But let me ask you this question. How do we live the Christian life? You can type an answer if you want. But think about it. How do we live the Christian life? Now, I kind of wrote that down, not in the line, and scratched it and doodled and dribbled and everything else, trying to think, how do I start that off? I had to keep, really, I went out and cut some grass, thinking, you know, riding my lawnmower. How do we live the Christian life? I had to sit on the porch a while, drink coffee, even though it was hot out there, I was sweating, so I came back in AC. So I just started looking at some of my commentary sets, started looking at some things on the internet, and I kept thinking, that's a good answer right there. But I kept thinking, how do we live the Christian life? And see, folks, to me, the Christian life is supposed to be a life lived by faith. You get that? A life lived by faith. It is by faith that we enter into the Christian life. And it is by faith that we live it out. When we begin the Christian life by coming to Christ for forgiveness of sin, we understand that what we seek cannot be obtained by any other means than by faith. We cannot work our way to heaven because nothing we could ever do would be sufficient. Those who believe they could attain eternal life by keeping rules and regulations, a list of do's and don'ts, well, in fact, they are denying what the Bible clearly teaches. Do you get that? If they think they can get eternal life by keeping all the rules, all the regulations, doing all the do's and don'ts, well, folks, they themselves are denying what the Bible really says. Look what the Word of God says. And look what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. That's very clear, folks. Look what the Word of God says in Galatians 3, chapter 11. And notice what it says. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is clear, for, pay attention to the last part, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, the Christian life is also supposed to be one of death to self in order to live a life by faith. And Paul told the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, being crucified with Christ means that we considered our old nature have been nailed to the cross, and we choose to live a new nature, which is in Christ. In other words, we crucify ourselves to the cross. We crucify ourselves to the cross. You see, he who loved us and died for us now lives in us. And the life we live is by faith in him. Living the Christian life means sacrificing our own desires, ambitions, and glories, and replacing them with those of Christ. We can only do this by his power through the faith that he gives us by his grace. Friends, to me, this is living the Christian life to that end. This is living the Christian life to that end. If you got your Bibles with you, let's turn to Luke chapter 9, and it'll probably be posted for you to read. But Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. And starting with verse 23, this is what it says. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. I'm emphasizing this a little bit. And follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you again for allowing us to gather here today. We thank you for allowing us to have this technology. I thank you again, Father, for doing what you're doing for me in my life. You know, at times, sometimes I don't know which direction I'm going or which way I'm going or what you want of me. I've been asking you questions, Lord, what is it you want of me, what you want me to do, where you want me to go? I mean, right now, it just seems like I'm in a standstill. It just seems like, you know, nothing is kind of going right. It just seems like I'm having difficulties, but I'm accepting things I've done for a season and for a reason. So I'm just going to have to be still and listen and see what you want. I'm just going to obey you and do whatever you ask me to do. Father, I thank you for loving me and looking past my imperfections and my hardness and using me for what I am. I thank you for these kind folks here tonight. Again, as I always said, they could be doing their own little thing, watching TV, going to ball games, or going out to eat, or doing whatever they wanted to do. But they decided to come here tonight, and I thank you for them. So I ask of you to bless them in their lives, watch over them, give them the strength, the courage, the wisdom, help them go about doing your business. And Father, put your holy hands on them, protect them, and watch over them. Let them know that you love them very much. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. And as always, I'm going to give me a quick sip. So in case some of you didn't see the message, and I kind of gave some of it away in a little Facebook group, but the title of this message tonight is, and this is what I think I relate to in myself, but the title of this message is Day by Day Christianity. And what we've seen in these passages, and I love that, you know, every time I love reading that passage right there, the Lord calls us to carry our crosses and follow Him. We don't follow anyone else. We don't follow no world leaders. We don't follow any other people. We don't even try to look like other people and be like people and do like people. We follow Him. But I don't know if you picked up on it like I did when I was reviewing all this and trying to put this message together. But notice what He does. He calls us, you and I, to do it daily. Not no one-time deal. Not once every blue moon. But He calls us to do it daily. See, daily activities, friends, becomes habits. Think about your normal day. If you ever got time, sit down there and think about your normal day. Write it down and review it. And here's what I come up with. This is a typical normal day. You wake up. You shower. Now, for us men, we shave. Ladies, y'all become beautiful by putting on your makeup and fixing your hair. We brush, go to work, lunch, work, quitting time, home, change, supper, TV, ready for bed, sleep, and guess what? We repeat it. Same thing, day by day. Now think about that routine. Is God in that day? Is God in it all day? If not, then we have to make putting God into our day a habit, day by day Christianity. You get that? We have to make it our habit, day by day Christianity, to have God there. Now, how can we do this? Well, several ways I'm going to cover here tonight. The first way is following Him daily. Following Him daily. This is very important, and we note from our text, Christianity is practiced day by day. Not there is no interest at all in tomorrow or yesterday, but that today is the arena action for a Christian. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. And for he says, in all acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Look what Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11 says. Hebrews chapter 3, 7 through 11 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the days of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Wow. And notice one thing, folks. Notice it does not say tomorrow, as if tomorrow I will live it. Tomorrow cannot be presumed. Why is that? Tomorrow cannot be presumed. Why is it? Well, because James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15 says this. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, we should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Stare at those words. Some may ask a question. Why? Why should we live like this? Well, as James just pointed out to us, we should not live like yesterday. Yesterday's gone. It's over with. We should not even be worried about tomorrow neither. We should live today, as if the deeds or the experiences of past can substitute for those of today. Whatever else the day might be, folks, work, rest, school, and so on and so on and so on, it is always the day in which we live out our Christianity. And this is the rhythm of our lives in Christ. Day by day, one day at a time, we live it daily. We should renew our commitment to Him, to follow Him each day. We consciously reaffirm our decision to come and follow Him. This is not only done in the past, but every day in our Christian lives. Each day we offer our sacrifice anew. As we read, and this is my favorite verses I love too. I got a lot of them, but this is my favorite. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. So each day we should offer our sacrifices anew. And notice what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow! So why should we live like this? See, I ask a lot of questions. Now, I'm posing this to you, and I'm trying to get you to think, okay, why should we live like this? Well, it's very simple. Today is the day that the Lord may come. Doesn't Scriptures tell us to keep watch for the blessed hope? Doesn't Scriptures tell us to keep watching and be ready? Because today may be the day that God says, okay, son, go get them. And those who never heard Christ will realize then everything that we said was true. Now what? And the reason why I'm saying this, because again, folks, Matthew 24 verse 42 says this very clear. Because today the Lord may come. And it says right there, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. You see, I bet you right now, if everybody knew when Jesus was coming, oh, he's going to be here exactly at 6:27 Central Standard Time. So look, I still got about another, an hour-ish? Then I can hurry and run and go get right and say, hey, I repent, accept me, Lord? No, it ain't going to work like that. It tells us to watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So that's why we must live day by day. That's why we must renew ourselves. That's why we must repent. That's why we must keep repenting. Now look, I don't say we keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if I go do it because again, I can repent of it later. No, that's not repentance. That's not sorrow. That's not being sorry. See, godly sorrow, my friends, produces repentance. You know, if we make mistakes, yes, we repent. But it does not give us the right to keep doing it. If you keep doing it, something's wrong with you. But we need to watch, for we do not know when our Lord and Savior is coming. And with that, each day, my friends, is potentially, really, the day of judgment. Each day is setting in which we should show the Lord the reality of our repentance. Whew, that's kind of heavy, Jim. That's right. But we know this by what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says. So I just pointed one out to you. Here's another one right there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both. Notice now, both. The earth and the works that are in it will burn up. Wow. But you want to know something else? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 also says this. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Day by day, day by day, the cleansing of the blood of Christ. The cleansing of the blood of Christ. The second way that we should be living day-by-day Christianity is in our Christian living, avoid the traps in the day. That's right. avoid the traps in the day. Notice what Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says. And y'all heard me quote it just a little bit a while ago. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." That's a warning right there to us, folks. Don't worry about tomorrow. I know some people, man, they are a basket case worrying about tomorrow. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I shake my head, but wait a minute. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Today may be your last day. See, what brings me to this, folks, is that we all know that each day brings evils, trials, troubles. It does. And in a way, in a fact, we're like a soldier facing battle each day. So, when we do not have to worry or have fears, because when we face these traps and battles, we have one who is with us. And listen to these scriptures telling us so. It's a fact. Look what Psalms chapter 3, verse 3 says. "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." And look at Psalms chapter 18, verse 2. Oh, I love that one. "And the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Wow. Hey, we got another fix to come up, Ephesians chapter 5, 14 through 16. And with this, folks, that we need to be ready. We must be ready. Because look what it says. It says, "Therefore," he says, "awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And all of us who are in Christ, it's a fact. All of us who are really in Christ is facing a real enemy. And Satan, my friends, lays traps for us constantly. Constantly. He wants us to take the bait. That's what he's doing. That's what he's trying to do. But our Savior, who has walked this road before, can point out the traps for us to see so we don't fall for Satan's schemes. Satan knows he cannot come into the light of our lives and tempt us to break our covenants outright. He can't do that. He's in darkness. We are in light. What he does use is his tricks, his traps, and intrigue to weaken us. And as humans living in a fallen world, folks, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if we allow ourselves to fall into the traps of Satan, we will find both our spirit and our flesh begins to succumb. We need to detect and avoid the traps Satan is planting constantly in our lives. We need to learn how to detect those things. But guess what? The good news is we have our Father, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. To add to this, we also have our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to help us along our journey home. Now, I'm going to back up because we do have brothers and sisters in Christ to help us on our journey home. But if you notice when I said journey home, folks, this place is not your home. We are ambassadors. We're just passing through. Our home is in His glory. Our home is in His glory. And the reason I am saying this again, a well-known trap that Satan uses against us, I'm going to say it very slowly so I don't get excited, but a very well-known trap that Satan uses against us is not letting you see the real truth. And we know the Word of God is true. Look at what it says here when we are facing such traps that are thrown at us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. There have no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. I'm going to repeat that. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Bottom line, folks, whenever we are faced with all sorts of temptations, trials, hardships, pain, suffering, you know, doesn't matter what, God always provides a way out for you. But you have to be willing to take it. Toby can understand this a little bit because I've been there with drugs and booze and pills and sexual addiction and everything else. And yet when I came to Christ, I was still tempted with all those things. And I was being, if you want to call it, being pulled back. And them temptations came at me hard. But you know what got me through it? Not me. Not me. I couldn't do that on my own power. But the Word of God. Every time I had trouble, temptations or whatever, I went to the Word. I went to the Word. Went to the Word. Went to the Word. Went to the Word. And that's why I was talking to a friend of mine who has a drinking problem. Jim, well, how did you do it? It can't be that simple. I've tried. I tried and I tried. I said, friend, that's your problem. You're trying. You're not letting Him. But every time that you feel like you got to go drink, don't go drink. Grab the Bible. Grab His words. Read it. And those temptations will fade. You see, folks, He gives you a way out. And remember this. The key to avoiding the traps is to remember two important truths. Two. Remember this. The first truth is the God of the universe is your Father. Not the so-called fleshly dad here on earth. God is your Father. He created and loves you no matter what. God prefers all to be saved. The second truth, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He loves you and He's willing to help you overcome any sin. Those two truths right there are the two traps that Satan tries to get you not to see. And armed with those two truths, friends, we can overcome any traps Satan throws our way. In doing so, we will understand that we have a role, we can help others, and God wants us to be ourselves and be our best. Now, when I said that, I'm like, okay, well, how do I follow up with this real quick? Well, I love this quote that I found on the internet. I couldn't find the author. Maybe you might can find it later. But when I read this, and realize that God wants us to be ourselves and be our best. This is the quote I found on the internet, to me, sums up what I just said. And it said this: you don't have to be somebody else to make a difference. God wants you to be yourself. You understand that? God wants you to be yourself. Don't be like Brother Jim. Don't be like Lisa, Fred, and Beth, and Jim. Don't try to be like me. I had many pastors trying to train me. Jim, you know, you got to kind of be like I am. You got to kind of do what I do. You kind of got to say the things you do. And I think in my mind, I tell them, no, you don't. I'm not you. God created you to be you. God created you to be unique. God created me to be used in a different way. Quit trying to imitate someone else. The person you need to imitate is Christ. That's who we need to be like. That's who we need to be like. That's what you need to be like. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. That the Christian life is also supposed to be one of death to self in order to live a life by faith. See, Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, this is what he told them, and this is what we need to be. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, y'all need to read that passage right there in that last word, me. Take me out of it and gave himself for, put your name there. You see, folks, being crucified with Christ means that we consider our old nature as having been nailed to the cross, and we choose to live the new nature, which is Christ, because he loved us and died for us and now lives in us, and the life that we live is by faith in him. And living the Christian life means sacrificing our own desires, ambitions, and glories, and replacing them with those of Christ. You may have heard that passage, I must decrease in order for him to increase. And the reading text today, that's why, again, we must learn to die to self. And that means you nailing yourself to the cross. You must die in order for you to live. And folks, we can only do this by his power through the faith that he gives us by his grace. You see, look what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 through 39 says. See, the Christian life, my friends, is also supposed to persevere to the end. I'm not going to get into a debate on that night, but they got some people said, you know, I don't know why you preach that we must be overcomers. But that's what we are, overcomers. We must persevere all the way to the end. And that is not giving us a free ride. That is not giving us an easy way out. See, when we are faced with hardships and trials and tribulations or whatever, there's a song we used to sing at the other church, Hallelujah Anyhow. Never, never let your troubles get you down. Persevere to the very end. But look what it says, though. In verse 39, really, my friends, when you look at it, addresses this issue by quoting from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. And listen to what he says. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, cruel. And this is not me. This is the word of God saying this, folks. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Wow. God is not pleased with one who draws back from him after making a commitment to him. But those who live by faith will never draw back because they are kept by the Holy Spirit who assures us that we will continue with Christ until the end. And that's my favorite verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. You, my friends, if you were truly born again, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, and you cannot break that seal. You see, that's why, again, many people don't believe once saved, always saved. Yes, I do. I believe in that. Only if you have really been born again. Not just saying some prayer, not just running down some aisle, making some sort of confession. You must be truly converted. You must be born again. And once you become born again, you were sealed with the promise of God's Holy Spirit. But yet, your life is just now beginning, and we must live daily and die daily, and we must let the Holy Spirit purify us and strip us of all those ungodly things in our lives. Is it easy? No. But can it be done? Yes, by His power. But once you are saved, you are always saved if you are sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see, the writer of Hebrews, he goes on to verify this truth again in verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. A true believer, my friends, is one who believes to the very end. So the Christian life is one lived by faith in God who saves us, empowers us, seals us for heaven, and by whose power we are kept forever. Jesus himself says you cannot take yourselves out of his hands. No one has that power. None of us does. You see, people think, well, you know, I can lose my salvation. No, you can't. Because once you've been sealed, once you've been born again, you are saved forever if you truly meant it in your heart and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you were transformed and you were converted, then you are done for and you're in His hands and you cannot remove yourself. Sure, we can grow cold. Yeah, we can kind of, I don't like to use the word backsliding. I don't like to use that. But you can get cold. You can back away a little bit, but you can't run away. Sure, your life may be hell during that time period, but you know, folks, once you are born again, you are truly born again. And I knew I was. Because again, you were sealed. And the day-to-day life of faith is one that grows and strengthens as we seek God in His Word and through prayer, and as we unite with other Christians whose goal of Christlikeness is similar to our own. Pay note of this. Christianity is a day-by-day life. It can only be lived in the here and now. It will be rewarded in the here and now and the then and there. So I'll leave y'all with this last part. Ask yourself this question tonight. See, I do this to myself. I stand in the mirror like James tells us to examine ourselves, examine my hearts. And I talk to God every morning, even times when I don't feel like it. I don't want to pray. I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm in the blues or whatever. I'm struggling. having a hard time. Things is not going right. But I still press on to pray. You know, sometimes I don't know what to pray, but I just tell God, God, you know, sometimes my prayer is like, I don't know. But the question you and I, we need to constantly be asking ourselves, are you living the Christian life? Are you? Think about it. And if not, then why not? You have a choice to make. And which is it? Life with Christ or life in death? Bottom line, it's your choice to make. You decide how you're going to live it. Amen. Let's pray.